Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
On today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny, can you hear me now? We have an antique wall phone and we give it some new life. How can you give an old broken down piano a new song? Once the snow and children are gone, what can be done with an old toboggan? And we'll show you how we gave new life to some forgotten tables. Plus, how to make dated bricks look new again. All that and more today on Junkin' with Jenny, the show all about taking what some may consider junk and giving it new life. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We have a new, like, graphical intro. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can you already saw that and you're aware of that, but our folks who are listening to the podcast version of the show, which you should check out the video version at junkinwithjenny.com. That gives you a little more kind of behind the scenes of what we got going on here. And it took about 5-10 tries just to get the beginning of the show right.
It was funny because you kept hitting a button that would cue some of our scary music for our other podcast.
It was.
I'm like, are you trying to tell me something?
It wasn't quite appropriate for this program.
No.
But it was all of a sudden, it was like this dark, scary thing. And then all of a sudden, like, your logo would pop up on screen. Like, I can show everybody what it looks like here. I'll fade this music down so everybody can get an idea of just what was going on. So all of a sudden, there's like five things I have to press almost simultaneously to begin this show, from the recording thing over here to the video thing over here to the audio thing over here, and you kind of got to do it in the right order. And so this is what we were seeing on this end. All of a sudden I went, and here's your logo. And then the pre-roll starts of all of the graphics, and that real creepy just, it's like not quite what we're doing.
No, so, it was funny.
Yeah, but lots of fun stuff on today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny. Lots of letters. If you have an item or a space that you'd like to give a makeover to, but don't really know what to do, well, send us a picture. We can give you some ideas on a future episode. You can do it at junkinwithjenny.com, or you can even do it on our Facebook page as well if you want to submit your picture that way. I do read those messages, and Jenny does as well, and you can submit it that way. In fact, I actually got one this morning that will be on next week's episode of the program, and it's a chandelier question. A chandelier that is in serious need of a little bit of help. Interesting bulbs, is it globes, is that what you call what's on top of a chandelier? The glass or whatever, and almost like purplish bulbs. It's very much. I don't think they're intended to be purple either, but it's very much something that somebody kind of got when they got into their place and they want to do something new with it. So we'll tackle that on next week's episode. But if you have something you want to submit to us, please do send it in at junkinwithjenny.com, or like I said, on our Facebook page, just look up Junkin' with Jenny, and you will find us, and you can easily submit there. So, should we go into our first item?
Sure.
Of the week? The first thing we talk about is a project that that we had been working on, and it was something that was a little bit scary at first, and that is taking exterior bricks and giving them new life. And I'm just going to show what the place looked like prior to what we did.
Okay.
And this is, you know, it wasn't bad, but it was dated. It was very 1993-ish looking.
Right.
You know, of that time. And, you know, at the time and place, that looked great. And I'm sure 20 years down the road, it will again. if that will do another swing around.
Sure.
But that's not necessarily the thing right now. And I think a lot of folks feel kind of trapped in the look of those bricks. And I think we did too for a little bit, till you started doing a little bit of research about it.
Well, and what you really can't see from the pictures that, you know, was only really evident in person was some of those bricks that had a red hue to it was actually more of an orange. We'd have a random orange brick every so often. And it just, there was nothing structurally wrong with the brick. There wasn't like any patching or anything that we had to do and it didn't come out right. I just thought we could just give the whole house a facelift if we painted everything the same color. Because it was very much, you could tell from the picture, broken up. It was brick, stucco, brick, stucco, brick. And that divides up your, you know, the way you see things. You see compartments versus all one structure. So by painting everything the same color, it was able to just tie the whole front of the house together, but really also update the brick as well at the same time. And I know that's a scary thought for a lot of people because it is, you know, it's pretty permanent unless you want to have somebody sandblast it off. And even then, not all the paint comes off.
And it's one of those kind of scary things because it's the exterior of your house, so everyone can see your giant F up if it if it doesn't turn out as you had seen it on HGTV. And then it's like, oh God, now what do we do?
Then you just go until you find the right color.
That's true.
Because once you paint, you're stuck with paint. You're committed.
Yep.
But if you paint it and it's not the right color, that's the great thing about paint is you can change the color, obviously. It's a lot of work or it's a lot of money, depending on if you do it or have somebody do it. But it's, you know, it's a great way to really update the look of a house. And where I'm from down in Texas, there's brick houses everywhere. In fact, most houses are made of brick. It was uncommon when I moved to Kansas to find an all brick home. That was like a special deal. And I don't know if bricks are just more common down there or if that's more of a Southern thing, but you know, everybody's got brick. That's a dime a dozen. So it's not uncommon to see a lot of painted or lime washed or whitewashed brick houses. And that was not something I had seen in our neighborhood or around here very much. And I thought, well, I'm going to do it. I want my house to look like the houses I remember as a kid. And so we just went and we bit the bullet. We didn't go with a true white. We went with an off-white.
And what we did here, and what I'm showing on screen is some of the after shots of this. And here's a full house after shot, so you can kind of see it. It's pretty bright when I took this picture, so it almost looks solid in some areas. But it does look like a whitewash, but this is not a true whitewash. What exactly was done to achieve this look, and why didn't you do a whitewash? I'll ask that question after you tell us how we did it.
Well, what we did was we first primed it with a masonry primer, which goes over, you know, concrete, brick, mortar, the whole shebang, and that will help the paint then adhere to it. And then I just deferred to the guys at my paint store as far as what paint to use, and they had one they recommended, so we went with that. And you did one coat of primer and then two coats of paint, and that's how we achieved this look. And it's a very solid uniform look, yet you still see the outline and the shadowing of the brick. So you don't lose that texture. And it's something obviously you're going to be able to see from the road that it's painted brick. It's not just, oh, I see up close it's brick. It doesn't change it to look like, you know, it's all solid like siding or something. And, you know, I considered a handful of different things to do. At first, I thought I really wanted to lime wash the brick, but I'd never done it before. Couldn't find any professionals around here that could do it. And the more I read about it, the more I thought, you know, I'm not sure with as humid as it is that that's going to work really well here. And it may, I just don't know. But what I was hearing and reading was, you know, the dampness of that kind of almost gave the lime wash a more translucent slash opaque appearance, kind of like, I don't know, like icing on a donut, kind of.
So it's almost like our bricks would just look like Krispy Kreme bricks at a certain point.
That's what I was afraid of. And I don't know that that's how it would have turned out, but I was not confident that we had the right climate. And two, I did not know if I could paint over it.
That would be my question is if you do the lime wash and you're not happy with it, can you go over it? Or does it require then some other sort of chemical?
I don't know.
You know, to add to make that work.
But lime washing is a very old process. It's been done for a very long time on old buildings. It prevents a lot of things from happening to the building structurally. So you see a lot of old white buildings. A lot of times you think they're painted white mm-hmm. or whitewashed. They're actually lime washed. And I don't have all the details on exactly what all lime washing does.
Because we haven't done it yet.
No, yeah. But if you Google it, you'll see it's a very, you know, it's a very popular thing in certain parts of the country.
Sure. So that's how it turned out. I was very happy with it. In fact, I was really surprised with just how defined the bricks still were mm-hmm. after the painting. I mean, I was looking forward to it, to kind of a new look. I just trusted you on the whole thing, and we did it. And but I was actually thinking the bricks were going to be a little more less defined, uh-huh. for lack of a better term. But really, I mean, the way that they have their definition, and I guess this may, you know, vary depending on how your bricks are on your house. But ours have a nice they stick out a nice little bit.
The mortar's in there deep. Yeah. It's not yeah. all pretty flush. Yeah. There's a lot of definition to the bricks.
And the fact that that happened is what I think really gave it more the definition. It's more the shadowing that necessarily mm-hmm. gives it the definition. I suppose if everything's very flush and there's not much depth, you'd have less of that.
You'd have less of it. You'd still be able to tell it's painted brick. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't be near as defined as what we have.
Sure. One thing I will say about this, and you should be careful about it if you're like, oh my God, that's a great idea. We should do that to our brick. If you are in a neighborhood with an HOA, look into that little ditty before you do it. Because
yeah.
This is something where once it's done, it's kind of done.
Yeah.
There isn't a whole lot of backtracking where if your HOA says, we're sorry, you can't paint your bricks here. Then you're going to have to deal with that. And that could be fines. That could be rebricking your entire house.
It could be depending on how strict they are.
Exactly. I mean, some are crazy, some are not. That we've dealt, I think, with every version of an HOA at this point.
Yes.
And some are neurotic and insane. Mm-hmm. And some are very reasonable. Mm-hmm. You know, just giving some examples would be a nice thing. And that's a cool thing you can do on our website at junkinwithjenny.com, because I'll have the before and after up there of our house.
Sure.
So if somebody says, I want to do this. Here, look at this before and after. Just grab the pictures from our website, and you can easily show them. And usually that will persuade people to go, oh, that's a great idea, rather than just, I want to do this.
And that was my fear when I first thought, let's do something to the brick. Was mm-hmm. because there weren't any other houses in our neighborhood mm-hmm. that had that done, I looked into it, and it wasn't a matter of if we could paint the brick. That was not a big deal. It was what color. So.
Yeah.
We were a little limited on the colors, but I was really happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, we ended up, the exact one you wanted, I recall, was not quite on their palette, but there was one that was like a slight shade off. And
it's one shade darker.
I think it's one of those things where I don't know that you'd really tell a difference all that much. You probably could, because you're very good at that, but it's one of those things where unless that's like your thing,
sure,
you know, no one's going to know much of a difference yeah. other than you, but it turned out great, so.
Thank you.
Painting bricks. It can be done. And it can give a whole new life to a house where you think, shit, I'm stuck with these bricks.
Well,
and you're not.
A big thing, too, is, you know, in the 80s and early 90s, everybody put these giant brick fireplaces in mm-hmm. the house, and they didn't always use the prettiest brick. Mm-hmm. And you can do the same thing to your brick fireplace
yeah.
as well.
So there's lots of ways that this could be applicable
mm-hmm. yeah.
to really giving new life to things. So there you go. There's some ideas on how to do that. And if you have a brick space or something that you want to get done, feel free to reach out to us at junkinwithjenny.com or through our Facebook page and tell us what you're looking to do. And we can give you some ideas on possibly product or just style and sure. ideas that we could use even here on a future episode of the show. So feel free to reach out about that. JunkinWithJenny.com, of course, is the website. And by the way, if you're listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, we're all over the place, please do press the subscribe button to this program, because that is what is going to help us grow the show. We're already charting on our categories that we're in, so thank you for that. But we need to keep that up in order for other folks to find the show and for us to make this thing you know, continue on for a long, long time, because we love doing it. But your support is what allows us to do that. So please do Hit subscribe. That's the best way you can support this show as of right now, along with sending in your questions. Our next thing that we have here is a letter from a listener, and it pertains to, I had one of these in my house when I was little. It's an antique phone.
Okay.
And a lot of these, some are just decorative. Some actually still have the guts inside. Either way, you could operate on either of these. Letter says, I picked up this phone at an antique store recently and thought it would make a fun wall accent. I'm wondering if you guys have any ideas on how to give it some sort of functional use beyond just a decoration.
And we should talk now, saying antique phone, that there's a mm-hmm. whole range of what it could be. But this, we're talking about the original wooden box, you mm-hmm. know, crank the handle and talk into the little...
You take the little microphone
there.
Out and, yes. and you hold it up or the earpiece, you hold it up and then you talk into the microphone on the box.
Right.
That's what we're saying antique phone. We're not saying brick phone from a car phone or something like
or rotary
that.
Dial.
No. This is like literally turn of the century, you know, 1900s phone.
Right.
Yeah. So just to put in your mind's eye what we are talking about here. And the inside of these, quite often, whether it's the faux antique version of it that were being sold a while back and probably still could be found, they would open up and you'd have almost, you know, it's a big opening in the box. Within the box is where the guts of the phone were.
Uh-huh.
And so once those guts are taken out, you have essentially kind of a little cabinet, if you will. Mm-hmm. So that's what you can keep in mind for what is a workable option, with the outside being the, you know, the phone part and the more decorative portion of the object. So if you had this... what exactly would you do with it?
Well, I'll be honest, and we already talked about this, and you and I had the same idea.
And
for
I
it.
Said, "For I forbid you from speaking your truth." That's exactly what I said. I said, "I forbid."
Well, what we thought would be a cool idea is the irony of using it as a cell phone charging station.
Yeah,
and
I forbid.
You know, if you hang it near an outlet,
mm-hmm.
didn't you say there's like a splitter you can get to charge multiple devices?
Yeah. In fact, I have one right over there.
Okay. Get that. Get all the junk out of the inside.
Yeah.
And depending on how it opens up, I would take the front and put it on hinges to where you can open the door and maybe have little shelves in there for each mm-hmm. item that you're charging.
The door it probably already is on hinges.
So there, mm-hmm. that works good. I would just empty it out, put little shelves in there, and make it a cell phone charging station, and I just like the irony of that.
That, and the thing is, that is exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So.
We talked about that a week ago.
I know.
And I was really surprised. I thought you were totally copying me.
I show her pictures now, and then she's like, I have an idea. What is it? And I'm like, damn it, that was my idea. Because I put together, you produce our other show, our ghost show.
Yes.
You put together the stories for that show. I put together, ironically, the letters and stuff for this show.
You gather everything.
It's kind of fun. Yeah. Like it's called the producer role of the
yeah.
show. So I'm the one who sees the photos and the letters and everything before even you do. Mm-hmm. So then it gives me the advantage of I can kind of think up some ideas before you. Unfortunately, it doesn't really matter if you have the same one. But that was exactly what I was thinking to do too with the shelves. And then you can get the different charging state, the different charging cords mm-hmm. and just keep them in there.
Yeah.
You know, so they're just right there. You can get the smaller, shorter ones. You can just kind of jam them into the different slots, and it would be perfect. It'd be perfect for the cell phones. Another kind of neat thing I think you could possibly do with it is and this will work with the phone mm-hmm. aspect of it, is get a little speaker, a little Bluetooth speaker or something of that nature. And you may need to do a little bit of construction on the phone just to get the speaker to be able to come out of it so you can hear it. Otherwise, it's going to be very muffled in there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can put a little speaker hole either on the top or on the side or something, it'd be kind of a neat phone/speaker as well. So
yeah,
if it's in your kitchen or whatever, you could, you know, like Alexa type home. You could probably even put an Alexa in there or an Amazon Alexa or a Google, whatever they call
it's
them.
Alexa's room. That's where she lives.
Yeah, it could be. It really could be. And you put her in the corner and lock the door when it's not doing what you want it to do. But I could see kind of turning that almost into a charging station slash a speaker, where if you don't really want, because some folks don't want those things on their counters and whatnot, just may not fit in with their decor. Mm-hmm. That'd be a good place to hide it. But you obviously need to be able to get the sound out. So there may need to be a little bit of construction onto the side of the thing to open it up a bit. Mm-hmm. But I could see that kind of being cool.
I think so.
And the fun part about that idea as well is if you do use an Alexa or the Google, whatever they call it, some of those now have a calling feature on it. So you're almost turning the device back into a phone of sorts. Granted, you don't have to go up to it and, you know, speak into the thing and hold the thing up to your ear. Uh-huh. But you could technically be calling through it again, which is kind of a weird irony of the whole thing of this is how we used to have to communicate through a telephone. And now we can literally just speak out loud into the ether of our house and suddenly we can call anyone we want. Mm-hmm. But we're still using the little box. It's kind of a full 360.
It is.
So that's another idea. Anything else with the phone, or was that kind of it?
That's all I got.
Okay. If you have an item, like I said, or a space you want some advice on, some ideas on, submit it to us at junkinwithjenny.com or go to our Facebook page and submit it to us that way as well. Next letter, next item that we got in is for this old thing. It's an old piano, and this is the type that you'd go and take piano lessons on. It's not a grand piano. It's not anything, you know, super ornate. It's the type that your teacher probably played in the corner of the classroom.
It's an upright.
It's an upright. You know, a lot of people have these, mm-hmm. And a lot of people still do have these. But oftentimes they get handed down, and sometimes they get handed down to people who don't play, or they get handed down and they've literally been so out of tune for so long and busted up over the years that they're almost beyond repair, or the repair is just going to be far too costly for the individual who ends up inheriting it.
Sure.
What we got here with this one, the letter says, I recently inherited this very piano that I learned to play on from my aunt. The bad news about this piano is that it was out of tune back then and is not even playable now. I don't have the extra funds to have it reconditioned, but would still like to incorporate it into my home in some way beyond just sitting in the corner, taking up space. Any ideas? And ping pong to you.
I would turn it into a bar.
Damn it.
I would. I would take everything out.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that entails. I used to have an old upright piano. I had it for a long time, but I didn't ever have it tuned, and I never really opened it up to see what all it would entail to take the inner workings out. But I would leave the keys on to where mm-hmm. it looked like it's a functioning piano. But that front part, it either will go up or come down so that you can access everything for tuning. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be perfect to put alcohol in, you know?
Are we just spending too much time together that our ideas are just like the same now on so many things, or what?
I don't know. I guess maybe.
It's just funny because that was my idea, but it's also an idea that I when I was shooting ideas around, I'm like that because that's what I thought of first too, mm-hmm. And then I did a little Pinteresting, and because sometimes I'm trying to just find what have people done that, uh-huh. you know, what does it look like, and I did find an after photo of something similar. The keys are gone, so it's not quite exactly what you were saying.
Okay.
But it's a cool idea, and this is one I found on Pinterest. And I tried to click over to find the credit to where to give it. The page was dead, but the image was still there. Otherwise, I would certainly give credit to this image. But what they did with it was, on where the key area is, they made that wine bottle holders, essentially. They pushed it in, and then you just put the bottles right there. And then it's kind of a little countertop where the keys were. So you could put glasses there or something, uh-huh. or make a drink there. Then up on the upright part, they took the front board off and then put wine glass holders and affixed that to the top.
Okay.
So you can fit about probably one glass, maybe two, depending how small the glasses is, are deep, mm-hmm. Into that inner portion. So it's almost like a cabinet that's wide open. And then down below, I think they added a piece of wood, like where you would have the pedals and things of that nature. And that's where they store the actual bottles.
Okay.
So, and they did a little bit of staining to it. They stained some of the interior wood, and then looks like it's almost like chalk paint on some of the exterior of it. So very similar to what you said, a little bit different though.
I had no idea that I haven't actually searched it. I try and come up with things just to see what I can come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hadn't had a chance with all the projects we're doing to Pinterest that one to see.
Sure.
So I'm glad you found an image, because I think that's kind of hard to
I like the keys
visualize.
Idea, though. I mean, and another idea I had with the keys was almost back where on this image that I have up here on the screen, if you're watching it at junkinwithjenny.com or on YouTube, back where the upper part is, and they have the wine glasses hanging, it's kind of an open space there. And you could do one of two things. You could put your bottles there as well. Or I would think you could almost take those keys and you could just put them straight across, just like they were on the piano. Or here's an odd idea for some fun with piano keys.
Coasters?
No, shiplappy keys.
Shiplappy keys.
It's kind of like laid out that way, key by key by key, where just like how we do shiplap on a wall, do it with the piano keys.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying, or does it sound crazy?
It doesn't sound like it makes sense because they're so small.
Well, yeah, it would be small. It'd be like small tiling.
Okay.
But that's what I mean about it, though. But you're reusing it within it. Maybe just a small, like if you were, picture like subway tile, but smaller and narrower. But instead, you're doing it with piano keys in this in this setting, in this piano. It's nothing I think you could really pull off on a wall or a countertop either, because I think it'd be far too large. But within the confines of the original piano, if you're like, what do I do with these keys? I think you could still probably reincorporate them somehow in kind of a neat way.
I would glue them together and make coasters.
That is another neat idea. I don't even know what's underneath the key, though. I suppose if you shaved them off, you could do anything with it.
Right, and that's the thing. I just assume that whatever we're going to do, I have the right tool to do.
Sure.
So I don't know what that entails. I haven't dissected a piano.
Yeah. We have a piano, like the cover,
it's the cover of the keys. Yes.
From one of these. And we picked it up at an antique store. Gosh, it's been several months now. And it's literally just sitting in our garage of like future projects of things that we want to do. And, I know we're talking about using it as a shelf, right? That's kind of the idea.
I've changed my mind on what I'm going to do with it.
What are you going to do with it?
I really think that I'm going to turn it into a mantle for our stone fireplace that we're going to make.
Oh, that will be neat.
Because it's a really pretty dark stained walnut. And I thought, you know, instead of building a beam, this thing is almost the right length.
Sure.
I'm going to use it as a mantle.
Because we were talking about doing the beam. So you're going away from the beam now, because the beam's kind of been a big thing for you for a while.
Oh, there will be beams.
There will be beams.
But I really want to use this as a mantle.
Okay. I like it. I mean, so it's still shelf-like. It's just in the place where a mantle would go.
Yes.
Cool. I like that idea. It's a neat piece. And of course, we'll have that on the show once we get to that project, which will probably be in the winter months.
It's the next project on our list.
Is it the very next?
Yeah. After we finish the basement, it's the next one.
Okay. Cool. Jenny, by the way, was making some very neat shiplap today.
No, it's a plank
wall. Or a plank wall. I'm sorry. Anything on the wall, it's what I call shiplap. But you're right. It is a plank wall.
It's a plank wall with different stains and dimensions to it.
And we'll talk about that one, of course, in a future episode as well. I'm really excited about that. When I walked down there, I was like, oh my God, that's awesome.
Thank you.
It's really neat. So, and that's coming up in a future episode of the program. Okay. Here's our next item that we have a question on, and what shall one do with it? And by the way, junkinwithjenny.com, where you can submit yours. I have so many fond memories of growing up in the north and sledding down the snowy hills in winter using my toboggan. I've never slid gone and sledded on a toboggan.
First time I really sledded was last winter.
That's true.
On plastic something.
Oh, yeah. The type of sled we had was very similar to the type of sleds I had. We had that, and we had the metal. We had metal, the sleds, you know, when you could actually kind of steer them a little bit. And you could, if you ran something over, you'd probably kill it, including people. But I've never done a toboggan. I don't recall any kids having one. Anyhow, I live in New Mexico now, so I hope the hope of a snowy hill to hit is not really a thing. Although sand dunes, you got to think about that. My cousin lived down there for a while, and they did hit sand dunes. And these are all Wisconsin folks. This has been in my storage unit for years now, and I'd like to break it out for the holidays or even longer if I can find a better use for it. Any ideas on what to do with this toboggan?
Okay, I would hang it on the wall, and I would hang it in a fashion to where the curled part is at the bottom and kind of curls up. And then I would use piping and build almost like a ladder rung. And I would probably do a couple of those depending on how long, and I would use it as a blanket holder.
Okay.
Just kind of winter cozy. Kind of use it as a piece of wall art. And, you know, the way that bottom curves up, you can store things kind of in there as long as they don't have to fall, you know, they don't fall out the side. Like, sure. I was thinking you could stand up magazines or something in the bottom there. But I would do that. I would just build with piping kind of, you know, what do they call the flat piece?
The flat piece?
Yeah, the flat piece, like on the bottom of your desk down here.
I don't know what that is. That the nipple?
I think it is.
The nipular area of the piping?
I was going to let you say it. Anyway.
Nipular structure?
That, and then two 90 degrees curves. I sound so smart right now. Anyway, make kind of like a ladder rung out of piping and do a couple of those and affix it to it. And I would just do that instead of, you know, the idea of using a ladder to hold blankets.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is on the wall. You don't have to worry about it tipping over. Mm-hmm. You've got little ones, because I had to tie the ladder to the wall because somebody wanted to climb it.
Mm-hmm. They still do.
That's why it's outside.
Well, with this, I had a couple ideas. There's a simple one that you could do with this, and that would really just be, you can make some shelves out of it, and that could be up year round and kind of a neat little piece, and it would not be difficult at all. The other idea I had for this would be a little more work, but could be done, and it would not all be that difficult. It's, I think, would require a little bit of measuring and such, and that would be to, you know, almost how you sit on a wall, you have. Like the floating shelves, you can do floating shelves. You can almost make it, and that's what, you know, the shelving would almost look like on this, but because you can affix it directly to the toboggan, then obviously you need to get the toboggan into some studs if you're going to do this. But I would almost make it into a wine bottle holder. You could probably get about 3 bottles, 4 bottles, depending on how wide it is, a rung, probably about 3, looking at this specific one, you could probably almost get like 5 or 6 different levels on it. You could probably get a good amount of bottles in there. And then literally build out the shelves like you would for the bookshelf type idea. But then you're going to build in the separators as well, and the levels, Jerry, and get that up there. And you could probably end up getting, you know, a case of wine on that toboggan, and hang it from the shelf. And that could be a fun piece that could be strictly Christmassy. That could be, you know, you have your get together, everybody brings their bottle of wine for the get together, and it's, you know, hung by the door, put your bottle in there, and then, you know, throughout the evening, oh, let's go to the toboggan and get a bottle, you know, something like that. It could be a conversation piece like that. Or it could just literally be an all year round thing. I don't necessarily see it having to be something that necessarily goes away. I mean, unless you really Christmas-fy it or something, and it's, you know, you paint it
Christmas-fy,
you know, make it red and green and have lights on it. I think just stain it up. I would stain it first of all, a color that's complementary to the rest of my stuff. And then I think I'd go down the route of trying to make it into a nice wine holder.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think it'd be kind of a fun piece that would be kind of a talking point, if you will. So there you go. There's some ideas. You got something you want us to talk about on the show, give you some ideas on, junkinwithjenny.com, or submit it through our Facebook page. Do greatly appreciate those submissions. Next thing we're going to talk about on today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny is tables that have been repurposed. And the first one I will bring up is the circular table that you've recently worked on. for a little living area for kind of a coffee table type thing. And it's kind of got a neat little mid-century feel to it. It looks like it's an old table. I would guess if I was just seeing this for the first time, that this is something you got out of an antique store and, you know, either did something with to keep it fresh. But that's probably not the case. It's not the case.
Is that the mint one?
It's the mint one. It's a mint circle one that's out there by the couch.
That is a hardware store special.
And how did you do it?
Well, some of the hardware stores sell small versions of tabletops where you can make, you know, as small as like a stool top, as big as like, I think sometimes you can see them up to like 4 feet wide. Mm-hmm. And I think the one I got for this purpose, because it fit in our little, the way that our sectional was set up, I think that's a 30-inch. Mm-hmm. And it's just a piece of pine that's already, you know, round. The edges are curved as far as they're rounded themselves. Mm-hmm. So there's no sharp edges on it. And then you can get table legs, different types of table legs at the hardware store as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the big box stores. This particular table came from Menards as far as the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the mid-century looking legs like that. And they also have the hardware to attach those legs at an angle. So they angled out, which is very much what you see on, you know, Pinterest or wherever you're looking at mid-century furniture.
Sure.
So that is about a $20 table.
Mm-hmm.
And I painted it mint. And then I sanded off some of the mint on it. And then I did the off-center, you know, striping.
Mm-hmm.
With silver, and then I sanded that as well, so some of the mint showed through the silver, and then I clear coated it. So for $20, I got us a coffee table, and I don't have to worry about it. The kids can be rough with it because it's solid wood. It's not going to, you know, if it does break, $3, I can get a new leg or new whatever.
Yeah,
it's real easy.
Clear coating is important because that's what's going to protect it.
Yeah, because I mainly use chalk paint because chalk paint doesn't smell.
Sure.
And so I really, after I chalk paint it, then I take it outside and I do the clear coat because the clear coat does smell.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, you'll ruin your paint by setting things on there and people that don't respect wood.
And you have to respect wood. And I really kind of had the feeling the other day that was like, Jenny, do you respect wood? Because I'd seen a Starbucks cup that was left on a table, and it kind of created a little bit of a ring.
We watched too much Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Do you? I'm just asking. Do you respect wood?
No, I don't. I cut it every which way you can. Anyway. Keep being weird. That's when I take drinking breaks.
Five people got that joke.
Yeah, five anyway. People.
But that's what works. That's
yeah.
Anyway, so that's table number one. Table number two that you kind of gave some new life to is this one. And this is the smaller buffet-ish type table, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what would you say you did to this thing?
That was a Target special.
Okay.
And being said, sometimes furniture you get at Target has a veneer on it, and so it's not real wood. But this piece actually was. So it was able to be painted and just painted the whole thing. Again, I painted it mint, but I did it with the idea of doing the mint layer and then clear coating it and then doing a white layer that I can distress and leave the mint showing through.
So literally you painted the whole thing mint and then you did the white chalk paint on top of the mint.
After I did a clear coat in between. The clear coat keeps the mint from coming off.
Okay.
Because if you don't do that, then just that dark wood would have shown through.
So you can't go mint white. You have to go mint clear coat white.
For this particular look.
Okay.
Yes, to get the aged look of layered paint.
So then it looks like the mint was the original color, when actually the original color of this was the veneered dark brown, you will.
Like a mahogany color.
Mahogany. Rich, deep mahogany.
Whatever.
What's that from?
I don't know.
Anchorman.
That's something I've never seen.
You never seen it? It was overrated.
Okay.
You're not really missing a whole lot. Okay. There, people who are in media kind of get kicks out of it, I think. But, you know, for like ever.
Uh-huh.
But it was not as funny as I was expecting it to be.
Okay.
So there, now you all know.
So that's what I did. And once you get that white paint on there, because you've got the clear coat, you don't have to sand it using sandpaper. You can use a wet rag and rub it on there, and it'll take that white paint off depending on how much or how little you want
to
remove.
You have to take do the white rag, obviously, when it's still not dried.
No, you let it dry.
Oh, really? And the white rag will take it right off?
Well, you take a wet rag.
Wet rag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you let the paint dry, and then you take a wet rag, and then you can rub it on the corners, rub it on the top, and it takes the paint off.
Do you do another coat of the sealant on top of all this?
Yes. Okay. Always seal your chalk paint project.
So once you're done, seal it.
Seal it.
Because you respect the wood.
Oh, fuck. Yes.
What?
That's it.
I'm just showing you do respect the wood.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm glad we've established that. It's a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. I don't know what it was. It was an episode where Larry David was very upset because someone had put a drink on a piece of wood at Julia Louis-Dreyfus's house. And he was being blamed for the ring on the wood. And he was trying to figure out who did it. And he finally did figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our joke, by the way.
Okay.
If you want to look that up. Okay, JunkinWithJenny.com is the website, and I did find something for us to talk about for a review today.
You did? Okay.
I did, because we had another item that we didn't quite get ready for this episode, but we'll have that on a future episode. And it's a product we've actually both been using for quite a while. It's this little ditty here. And let me pull this up. Ta-da.
Good old Minwax.
Good old Minwax.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stains out there.
Mm-hmm.
There is. And this is not an advertisement for Minwax or anything of that nature. This is just simply the product that we've been using for quite a while. And this is I believe it's the water-based, correct?
Yes. I always get the water-based because I find it's easier to work with and it's easier to clean up your brushes or whatever you use to apply it. Otherwise, you have to use mineral spirits. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I'm already sniffing one chemical. I don't want to use the other one on my hands.
Well, also, too, if you're wanting to get the project done and not have to have it sitting there drying forever and ever and ever and try to get the smell out of your whatever you're staining before you use it, especially interior-wise, this helps quite a bit.
Yes.
So this is, I've shown you a lot of shiplap product or projects that we've done or
plank walls or
things of that
There's
nature.
There's a difference.
There is.
Respect your wood.
Anyway, we've done a lot with this stuff. And this is really the product I keep going back to time and time again. We have tried a couple different ones, but I do like this one best.
I do too.
And we recently, in fact, this last weekend, last two weekends, and this will be on a future episode of the show, working on a plank wall. Ta-da.
There you go.
Respect the wood. And it's a big, big old plank wall project. And I think I put some pictures up on Facebook recently of it, of the bar area that we have been creating from scratch, of literally building a wall and then putting a plank wall up on it. And what we did for the plank wall, instead of getting, otherwise outside of the fence boards that we got, what would be like 2x6s or
2x6s, yeah. 2x8s, whatever you want to use.
Yeah.
And that's just way too much wood. You don't need that thick of a piece.
You don't. And it's pricey too, if you're going to go down that route. So what we ended up doing was using, fence boards and cutting the dog ears off and then staining them, and they're nice and rough. And that's kind of the look we were going for. And using various, stains on them and then putting it up and getting kind of a contrasting look all throughout the wall. And we'll show you how we did it in a future episode of the show. But this stuff, if you're looking for a decent stain that's not going to be super smelly, I think don't they even make like another version of this too that's even like quicker drying or something? Or
they might. I don't know. I just always get that particular one.
I don't know how much quicker drying you could even get with this, honestly, because within an hour of using this, I was carrying them into the house. Mm-hmm. And I did get, I was wearing my stained clothes, so they were still a little bit wet, but they weren't like not usable. You could start working with it right away. And I love their colors. And a little thing I learned this weekend with this, because I was getting low on one of them and I wanted another contrasting color that I didn't have and I didn't have to run to the store. When you use the water-based ones, oil would not work with this, but if you have the water-based ones, and you want to lighten up the color or sometimes even darken, I've learned, depending on which one you have, which is very bizarre to me. I just added a little more water to it to dilute it. And in one case, I got one of the stains to go a little bit redder, which was cool because it really wasn't have many red tones to it to begin with. And then the other one, I thought I was going to lighten up, make it more grayish. It turned it darker. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a crapshoot if you're going to do that, but it's an advantage of having the water-based versus the oil-based. Number one, the smell, and number two, more versatility of what you can do with it. So
now I will say, I don't know. Fan. I'm sure there is an application where oil-based is the way to go.
I'm sure there is.
It's not anything that we've worked on, so mm-hmm. I don't know what that would be, but do, you know, follow whatever guidelines if you find you're in a project that recommends oil-based for a reason.
Do research on your project and why you're using what you're using. But if you do find yourself in a project where you need a water-based stain, that's approved.
It is.
It's good stuff. And we've been using it for several years now. And again, not an advertisement, not paid to say that or anything of that nature. Just two people who've been using that product for quite a while.
Did you know that you can actually mix the colors if you wanted to?
I suppose you could. I mean, it's almost like how I add water to it. My thought with that, though, it'll just make it darker. Not necessarily. If you're working with lighter tones, I think you have more versatility, don't you?
You do. The reason I'm saying that is there's a very popular color, and I'm surprised they haven't actually turned it into a color, but it's taking half of a shade called Jacobian and then another shade called Ebony, and it's half and half of that, and you mix it together, and it makes this really perfect, really dark, rich color.
Really?
And I don't know how, you know, they're both super dark colors.
Yeah.
So I haven't tried it, but that's something that I'm going to try really soon.
I had no idea because my thought upstairs, because so many of the ones that we have are very dark. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, if I mix any of this, it's just going to make dark on dark, you know, very dark. But I had no idea you could do it with the darker ones. Mm-hmm. I thought, like, so, you know, if you make add a little bit of red to the gray or something, sure. But interesting. Mm-hmm. That could be interesting to try. Where did you learn that one?
I actually found that on Pinterest.
Okay.
Because, people use Minwax to refinish their hardwood floors when they do them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a popular color, this mixture for doing a hardwood floor.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. All right. Learned something new today. All right. Well, there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny. If you have a project or a space you want some advice on, some ideas, do submit it to us on the website junkinwithjenny.com or through our Facebook page. Again, please press subscribe to our show. Let your friends know that we exist. Share some of our stuff. We got before and afters up on the website and on our Facebook page as well. So any support you can give us to let other folks know that we're out there would be greatly appreciated. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. That's Jenny Bruschi that way, according to my camera.
And I'm pointing at you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Until next time, have a great one. Thanks for listening or watching another episode of Junkin' with Jenny. Bye-bye.
Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at COSI.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at COSI.org.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.